You know, Vree, I'm puzzled about something.
What, again?
Mm-hmm.
This seems to be a rather regular occurrence with you, dear. What's the big puzzlement now?
Well, now, we often hear people say, that salesman used the wrong psychology on his prospect. Or, people react psychologically to a certain advertisement. Now, I'm puzzled about how those statements fit in with the understanding of psychology as a science.
And I guess, dear, that you're not alone. We use the word psychology rather loosely, and I'm afraid that a great many of us do not actually know just what psychology is and what a psychologist really does.
Well, Vree, suppose we get down to a practical definition of psychology. Just what is psychology and just what is psychiatry? Now, as I understand it, psychiatry and psychiatrists. Psychiatry is a medical profession. A psychiatrist is a man who goes to a medical school and studies medicine and graduates with a degree of MD in psychiatry. In other words, he treats the diseases of the brain. Whatever disease of the brain a person may have, such as schizophrenia or manic depression and all of the various manifestations of it, this a psychiatrist takes care of. A psychologist, on the other hand, is not a medical man. He is a philosopher, and a study of psychology and the workings of the brain, a study of man's thought, how he arrived at his present state, a study of reason and so forth. Now, is that clear?
Well, I think that's very good.
Because it has puzzled me for a long time, and I wanted to get it straight.
Yes, I think that's very true, and I must say it is a puzzling thing, and I think that we sort of... Many times we use the word incorrectly, meaning something quite different. What you said is true. The psychologist is one who really has a study of human behavior.
That's the
and,
word.
And usually has is a doctor of philosophy, which is something quite apart. And it takes in a great field. It's the sort of thing that if you have a problem that is not very deep-seated, let us say, you would probably go to a good psychologist who would be able to iron it out. Now, if it had gotten beyond that and had become a, let us say, a well-defined image that had seeped back into your subconscious mind where it could not be gotten out by the psychologist, then you would go to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist, as you said before, is a medical man who is primarily interested in preventing mental diseases.
Yes.
And very often does. Therefore, I mean, if a person has a problem that they are unable to clear up in their own minds, or if they've gone to a psychologist and they don't seem to be making any headway, they should not hesitate to go to a psychiatrist, because it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a diseased mind. Far from it. It can be a problem that only he can get out.
Yes.
But it's being done every day and being done very, very well.
Well, further than that, the psychologist is a man who has studied human behavior from primitive man onward. The word rationalization and reasoning and thought and how he has arrived at his present state of civilization. Whether you think it's good or not, that's what, up to this point.
I also think another thing that's very interesting is in our present day way of living today, we're using it in reference to work. For example, in many of the business world of today, you'll find that they will have a very good psychologist in charge of placing people in the type of job that they are best suited for.
Oh, yes.
In other words, they study their mentality and the human behavior once more and fit them into the proper place so that they will be the happiest, because that is the most important factor. That's something that psychology has found out, that the person who does the best work in life is a man or a woman who is doing something that they enjoy doing.
That's true.
In other words, if you love what you're doing, you are going to not only do a better job, but you're going to be happier in it. But I think that the psychologist today is doing a magnificent job. It's a very long course, you know. It isn't a simple thing.
Oh, I know.
For example, as a rule, most psychologists have at least 3 years of graduate school after a 4-year undergraduate course in college.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go on after that for the PhD.
And they never get through studying, dear, because it's something new that's come up.
Well, that's true. I mean, and they're being used, of course, more and more since the war in all of the hospitals, and they've done some really remarkable work. They're being used in schools with children that are probably not as well adjusted as they might be socially with their own little playmates,
this
for example.
This is the psychologist.
That is the psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, to make it bring it right down to it, I think, as far as I can find out, that psychology means those problems that are in the objective mind. That's the the outer things that happen to us all the time, mm-hmm. that we can pick up or leave. You know, you have a thought and you say, well, I don't know why, I'm a little frightened today. Well, I mustn't be that way. That is in the field of the psychologist. Now, if that has become deep-seated, if it's become a fear complex, let us say, of the dark or anything, mm-hmm. and it has gone back into your subconscious, mm-hmm. then you go to a psychiatrist.
Yes, of course. Well, all this has been most interesting. For all practical purposes, it means that if I see an article carrying the guarantee of a well-known manufacturer, I'm halfway convinced in my mind that the product is good.
Well, dear, yes, that's one branch of psychology called association. And I think that truth in advertising makes people conscious of good products, just the way that the label of the underwriter's laboratory is an assurance that, for example, an electric appliance is safe to use.
Now, dear, there's something I'd like to talk about. The working of the underwriter's laboratory. Suppose we talk about that after we listen to what someone else may have to say on a different subject. Now, Varee, I feel quite at home on the subject of the underwriter's laboratory, where various materials and appliances are tested, and liking to talk, or shall I go ahead?
Oh, yes, dear, go right ahead.
All right. Well, now, the Underwriters Laboratories is a non-profit research organization which the fire insurance companies of the National Board of Fire Underwriters contributed the initial funds. The three great labs located in New York, Chicago, and San Francisco, and the 200 inspection stations that dot the country, manufacturers submit products for testing. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do so. Use of the testing service is purely voluntary. Yet, 3,500 manufacturers cheerfully pay the actual cost of giving their products a chance to win that coveted label, mm-hmm. the UL, which goes on the material once it has been approved. So the manufacturer wanting to prove to the public that his product is safe to use, particularly if it has used with electricity, such as irons and toasters and all of those sort of things, would like to have the seal. Therefore, it has to be tested by an organization, a non-profit, thoroughly honest. Therefore, he submits to it and pays the costs cheerfully. For example, safes. Let's take a safe, for instance, a wall safe or a small house safe.
Yeah.
You carry your valuables in it. You put in some jewelry. You might put in some cash. You might put in some bonds, insurance policies, and so on. It is highly important that in case of a fire, that you know that this safe can stand enormous heat. So that when you go through the charred remains, let's hope it never happens, of your house or wherever you keep these valuables, that when you open the safe, that everything will be intact.
Yeah.
Now, this safe then is submitted to the underwriter's laboratory, and they test it. And they probably give it a test that will never have to undergo. It's subjected to such a heat that the safe would never have to stand. Mm-hmm. I worry about that myself sometimes. I think we've got a safe, wall safe, carry a few things that I have to have at hand. And it is important to me to know that if I open this, that I'll sure that I'll find everything intact and usable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You understand exactly what that means?
Well, I think I do. I'm just wondering whether you... you work for the Underwriters Laboratory by any chance? It's a wonderful sales talk you've just given.
Oh, dear, but you're absolutely right. I'm open for a job anytime.
I see. But you know, something else they do, which I think is very interesting and something we all more or less take for granted, and yet it's our safety always at hand. For example, the safety glass that's in every automobile.
Oh, yes.
Very often, if you look down in the corner of the glass, you'll see the little sign UL in a little circle, you see. And that means that that particular glass in the automobile has been tested. So that if, for example, you should be going 60 miles an hour and a bird should fly at the windshield, it wouldn't go right through.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things. I know that the housewife usually looks for that seal of approval in buying all types of things, everything from a pressure cooker right down the line, because you can possibly imagine what would happen if a pressure cooker had not been tested, and maybe the steam wouldn't work properly, and you'd have a whole thing going up in your face, or electric irons for the same reason. Now, if you get an electric iron that has the UL sign on it, that means that iron will never arrive at a heat that is a high enough degree of heat to start a flame. It'll just smolder and burn through in a charred fashion.
You mean but it comes to the flash point?
Well, yes, I think that's right, flash point, yes. That it is safe to that extent, that it'll only smolder. and that's a very important thing.
This protects people against carelessness who forget to turn it
off
and all that sort of thing.
That's true, or any sort of thing. I mean, even these electric blankets that people use now so frequently, all of those have been tested. Now, of course, there are other organizations that test these things, too. You have the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, which they put on all sorts of products, everything from food to any type of household equipment. And all of these things are very important, and I think particularly today that when women are shopping, they look for that seal of approval.
Well, you see, the seal of approval of Good Housekeeping is not quite the same thing in that the underwriter's laboratory thinks of safety.
That's true.
Safety.
That's true.
Physical safety, bodily safety, safety of the home, and all those sort of things. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the safes for a moment, it's very interesting to note that years ago, the smart safe cracker, you see, safe breaker, or what do you call them, the burglars that went in to open your safe when you were not around, did not look at the front of the safe. Most people are impressed by the huge, enormous 10-inch doors that they open.
Yeah.
The back of the safe being thinner.
Oh.
Now, the safe crackers went around to the thin back and cut the back open.
Well,
this, of course, has been corrected.
It's a very funny idea. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Well, I do think, though, that there is a point in all of this protection that we have, as you said, free of charge to the consumer, and it's important to look for that whenever you go shopping these days. Right?
Indeed it is. And look at the amount of merchandise that one buys that uses electricity, gas, and other so-called fire-activating devices.
Well, darling, I'm sorry to have to stop this now, but I see it's time that we said our goodbyes. This is Bree Teasdale-Monjou speaking from Beverly Hills.
And this is Adolphe Monjou thanking you for the pleasure of this visit and hoping we may come calling soon again.